Good evening, everyone. Welcome to this week's Nutcast. I'm your co-host, DJ Walsh, and we're joined here tonight in Grady's Yard by Owen Tabb and a very special guest, Alan Maguire, from the Juvenalia podcast. And before I bring you guys in, I just want a quick little chat about something magical that happened in the Snowcast this week. So, last week we set up our Patreon, and we said it on the podcast and we released it on social media, expecting absolutely nobody to bite. But tonight's podcast is brought to you by the one, the only, Matt Preston. Matt, thanks a million for being the first person to sign up to Snowcast Patreon. You have no idea how happy it's made us. Small contributions, once a month, like, they just mean the world to artists like ourselves who are trying to produce content. And thanks a million, Matt. Fucking brilliant. This podcast dedicated to you.
Actually, this pint, I think he's bought kind of this pint here for me, so I'm going to take this pint.
Yeah. Oh, well, I actually paid for it. So, Matt, if you could just send the money to me, don't mind that fucker next to me. We're here, we're in Grady's Yard tonight, as you might have seen on social media. Grady's Yard, as ever, we come here fairly regularly. Regular listeners to the podcast, we know. We absolutely love the place. And I had a lovely chat with the bar staff and Owen. They have a fine selection of taps.
Yeah, so, the usual 10 yellow belly taps. Actually, DJ, you put up on Instagram there today, you had a little poll as to what do you want the fans for you to drink tonight?
Yeah, well, more on that later. I will reveal the results in podcast form. So we'll see what people voted for.
Oh, sorry, a little quite interesting. Sorry.
With the Tupac in the background as well, I'm feeling very... I'm actually feeling it. About 7 o'clock there, I had no mind for anything. I was on a farm. I was after a hard day's work and a day job. I was up on the farm, knee deep in cow shit. But I'm fucking feeling it now with a bit of Tupac and a pint and a turd in me.
Cow shite would put a bit of a lip on you.
Cow shite would make you thirsty. Yeah. So we're here tonight, and our guest tonight, Alan Maguire, you are very welcome to the Snowcast. We are delighted to have you on, co-host of the Juvenalia podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm delighted to be here. I'm drinking on a Thursday, which is just an absolute treat.
It's
very good. I haven't done it in a while. I'm hoping it doesn't go to my head, but we'll see.
It's good beer.
I've never been here in Grady's before, actually. It's my first time. It's a very nice place.
Brilliant. Yeah. Let's take your first impression, so.
First impression of Grady's?
Yeah.
Very nice wood everywhere. Yeah. It's a very good shade of wood.
Yeah, he's talking about the decor now, yeah. Not me and Owen.
I can confirm that Owen and DJ are flesh and blood.
Yeah. There's
a nice cage thing going on here, which is adds a nice kind of Wolverine kind of,
I like it.
It's just very, the colour scheme is just it's a good one.
And you've got the Hugh Jackman beard going on as well, like, you know.
I've got a beard going. Never heard described as a Hugh Jackman beard before. Are either of you going to see Hugh Jackman live?
Singing.
How's that three sold out nights?
I don't know.
Well, Hugh Jackman. I'll put it this way, Owen, your fiance Kira is big into musicals. Musicals plus a body like Hugh Jackman's, like, if I was a woman of eligible age, I would be going to see Hugh Jackman in a musical. I'm not. I'm just putting
if
it out
there.
If you're
going to like fuck up some dudes with some claws. In between bits of lame is. Can you swear on this, by the way?
Or like,
of course.
We're in the pub.
I hate when people ask that in podcasts, because of course you can. Like, it's like premium podcast content.
We cut out you asking.
Save it for the Patreons.
That's exclusive content.
Absolutely. Here in Grady's Yard, like, the thing. I'm not sure if you know this about Grady's Yard, Alan. It's actually the manager and the team of Yellow Belly and the team here in Grady's Yard put this whole place together by salvaging stuff from scrapyards.
Oh, really?
So, like, the table that we're drinking pints off right now, through glasses, I would add, was like an old pallet. This door that you're sitting next to, with this wall, it was actually a door that they recovered. You can see actually some of the glass is missing. Yeah. So it's amazing. Decorated all themselves.
Like, that's an actual container.
Yeah.
Like, that's.
As is the kitchen.
I'm in love with this place.
It's
a very well conditioned work.
Considering it's only open since September, there's an awful lot of character and rustic feel to it.
Oh yeah, totally. It feels like absolutely part of the fabric.
Listen, if nothing becomes of this podcast, at least we've introduced you to Grady's Yard.
I finally have a third place to go and watch.
What are the other two, do you mind me asking?
Downs's and Jeff's. And probably Grimes as well, actually.
Yeah, so yeah. We love Grimes's.
It's a very similar wood situation.
We're big fans of the trees here. Like, you know, I will say this much. We've never recorded a podcast in Downs, but we're both big fans of the pub. We'll have to go to Downs soon and record a podcast. Yeah. So, Alan, the next time, if by the end of this you're willing to come back on the Snowcast, we go to Downs for a pint in a couple of weeks, maybe a month or two, and we'll talk some shit over a pint.
I thought you said a couple of weeds. I was like, wait, I don't think that's a phrase for like smoking weed. Like, let's go for a couple of weeds.
420 was last week. Brilliant. Basically, Alan, you're also relatively new to the Snowcast. So the first section of the Snowcast is, what are you drinking tonight? That's our intro. Owen, I'm going to come to you first with this. What are you drinking tonight?
So I'm on a Yellow Belly Witness Protection.
Whoa.
Great name for a wit beer or a wheat beer. It's nice.
Sounds Belgian.
Sounds proper Belgian. It's really nice. It's kind of like a classic kind of wheat beery taste off of it, but a little kind of like sour bit at the end of it. Like I like it. Like pure cloud, like pure cloud in the glass.
Pure cloud, like. Yeah, pure cloud. You were saying. You were getting really into the malts there a few weeks ago. Are you feeling a bit? Yeah, you feeling a bit wheezy now?
No, I don't know. I think I kind of like the class thing with the old Yellow Belly beers is they have class names.
Yeah. So the name drew you in.
Yeah, witness protection. Like, I also asked like what's new on tap here, and they just said that. So I tried it, went for it.
Basically, with the tap Glenn was standing in front of. Probably,
yeah. They have a few new guesties and stuff as well. I love them.
So before we come on air, obviously we always have a pint with our guests and have a little chat with them, try and get to know them. Especially like Alan, we inadvertently met a month ago, and I didn't recognise you because I was a bag of nerves that night when he came in. So apologies for that.
No, it's fine.
Very understandable.
Like we were saying beforehand, your first time doing stand up is you're not expected to remember it.
I was a lot more nervous my first time doing sex. I was a lot more nervous at the stand up to doing sex, but I was kind of like, I'll figure it out. Like, but stand up, like, yeah.
Like, people have been doing sex for millions of years, they've only been doing stand up for about 80 years.
Yeah.
So there's a lot less like experience to draw on.
How long have they been doing stand up sex?
Who knows? The Egyptians definitely did, if you look at the walls in Egypt. Like, I've never been. I'm actually wearing an Egyptian t-shirt tonight, but I've never been. Alan. We had a very interesting conversation before we started recording about beer, because you said yourself that you're not a crafty, shall we call him?
No, not yet. Anyway, I don't have a palate for it. I don't have the words. We were saying like kind of you need to have the words to know what you're doing with it. So I'm going to need you to explain my beer to me. I think.
So you're basically us 6 months ago, because
pretty much.
This podcast I'm saying to you has been a journey for us in terms of learning about the craft beer industry. Like we always in. Before we started the podcast, we would love to go to a good pub and drink good beer, very often it will be craft beer, and it'll be an experience from a tasting point of view from us, but we wouldn't have the vocabulary. And through meeting different people, through doing this podcast, all of a sudden now, we're absolutely no experts, like we're absolute bluffers.
Absolute bluffers.
It's been a brilliant learning curve. So Alan is drinking Keller Beer by Yellow Belly Beer. It's their flagship lager. So compared to the lagers you typically drank, how does it rank and what you make of it? Bear in mind, like, we don't have shares in Yellow Belly beer.
I genuinely really like it a lot. It's I don't have the words for this, but there's like just a bit more going on with it than there is with like something you'd buy. Like, I worked in an arcade store's office back in from 2000 to 2007, and like craft beer was just starting then. Like, we used to have Erdinger, that was kind of it.
Yeah,
that was as far as fancy went. So, this beer is called Keller.
Keller beer.
Keller,
yeah.
It's a really nice lager.
It's probably more flavoursome. It's
crisp as.
As you say, like it probably has a bit
it's
more.
Less about the bubbles. Than regular lager. I think it would be a good gateway into trying more interesting flavors.
Yeah.
Because at the moment for me, like pale ales and stuff, they just overwhelm.
Yeah.
Overwhelm me.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you were saying, your beer tastes sour.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would love to be able to like get to a point where I understand why that's good.
Yeah, you know?
And that's my mission to be on the podcast.
Actually, maybe this has just gone off.
And from this point forward, he became a functioning, tasting alcohol, beer alcoholic. It's funny because use the word gateway there, and we've actually used that word so many times in the last 6 months. So Keller Beer by Yellow Belly is a brilliant gateway lager, and the Citra Pale Ale, or flagship Pale Ale, is actually very much a gateway Pale Ale. It won Beer of the Year actually for Bure. Bure awarded Yellow Belly Citra Beer of the Year for 2018, which they picked up the award last week at the Franciscan Well Easter Festival. So congratulations to Yellow Belly on Beer of the Year. But that's exactly what it is. It's a gateway. It's a medium between what the macro lagers are. It's a medium between the Heinekens and the Budweisers and stuff to what a pale ale is on your palate. And you actually, for someone who said you haven't the words, you've actually done a really good description of it.
It's a lager you can like sit with and enjoy. Yeah. You're not just drinking it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think that's a lot of the kind of craft beer scene as well.
But that's what it is, yeah. The drinking isn't the vehicle, it's actually part of the journey, a deeper part of the journey. So like part of it is like enjoying the drink itself. I often find a pint of Budweiser draft would be nothing for me. I despise the stuff. So if I'm in a bar and Budweiser and draft is the only lager there, like I just find myself like I'm only drinking this to get pissed, and that's the only reason for it. Whereas you sit with a good nice beer, like there are various reasons for drinking, and it's very important. What I'm drinking tonight is something that is very much in that tasting and learning experience for me. I'm on a double hop saison. Now people who listen to the Snowcast regularly would have heard a little segment I did with Kevin Warren while you were away. Shout out to Paul Lambert who was over that night. Myself and Kevin sat down for 5 minutes, the manager here at Grady's Yard, and we had a little chat about the Where's Wallonia, the new saison that Yellow Belly have brought out.
So great artwork as well on that.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's like Where's Wally play. Yeah. So Yellow Belly, the character and all the Yellow Belly beers labelling, he's in the middle of a load of Wallies. Like, it's copyright infringement at its finest. So I'm on a double hop saison by Old Brother Brewing. I've actually been on a few Old Brothers lately on the podcast. They're a recurring team. And actually, it's a 6.1% double hop saison. It's really, really nice. I couldn't put my finger on what I was tasting when I had the first couple of tastes. But you know what it is? It's clove. So it's actually, funny enough, like we're here in the end of April, and it's almost like...
a little slugging there. Thank you.
There's a clove and then a fruitiness, so it's actually not too bad. 6.1% on a school night isn't something you're going to have 5 or 6 of, but it's a lovely tasting experience, and it's really really nice.
I can definitely get the clue.
So Old Brother Brewing again doing a really nice drink, but it's one of those, again we talked about it off mic, we actually had some really interesting conversations off mic. We probably could have got 3 podcasts out of what we talked about so far. But it's one of those where you're sitting down with the beer and experiencing the beer, and it's part of the overall conversation. It was really, really nice. Again, it's at this stage I still wouldn't consider myself a seasoned craft drinker at this stage, but definitely more fine palate than mine would pick up an awful lot more. But I definitely get cloves. It's almost Christmassy in a mad sense, which I know. How
nutmeg,
that works?
Is it like
no? The clove.
Holly.
I'm not sure why, but clove has
mistletoe.
Christmas.
Is there a
crushed
mistletoe in it?
I'm looking up at the ceiling. There, I don't see any mistletoe, so there'll be no shifting tonight. Anyway, really enjoying. So it's time waits for no one. Double hop saison by Old Brother Brewing. 6.1% is really, really good. And now, guys, we're going to move on to the first topic of the night, which is a really random question that Owen conjured up in his what he calls genius mind. Here we go. Now, Alan, we're here in Grady's Yard tonight, and I'm not going to lie to you, yesterday Owen got very, very excited about the first topic, this first question he wants to ask us. And when I say he was leaping out the seat when he thought of it, like, huh? You were fair excited.
What?
About this question, yeah.
Is this right? So DJ Alan, right? What would you rather be, right? Would you rather be a dog or a ghost?
Wait,
Okay, right. So,
I want kind of pros and cons, you know, it's kind of.
This is actually
running. Like, you think it's quite simple initially when you think about it,
Alan, it's like on Team with a recent Juvenalia episode, the Friends episode.
Yeah.
You need to do your pros and cons.
Oh, yeah.
But instead of pros and cons of Rachel and Julie, it's pros and cons of dog and ghost.
Okay, so we need to nail down some specifics here.
Yeah.
What kind of ghosts are we talking? Poltergeist, chain guy, what kind of things can you do?
You asked the question, but I think the type of ghost is up to yourself.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a D&D game. Where a ghost is the type of person you can be, and when you're a ghost in that, you can basically everything a human can do, but only two of those at a time. So you can like be seen and like touch things.
Ooh.
But then when you're that, you can't like move through things and stuff like that. So you can only do two things at a time, which seems like a
and
good
is that like is that infinite amount of times, like, you know. But like,
oh yeah, like you basically choose what stage you're in at that time.
It's not like, you know, genie in the lamp, like three wish, like, you know, three goals, like, you know,
no,
like,
so
like three goals to touch something,
three torches or something.
Three torches.
No, yeah. So you're like, right now I can be heard and I can touch things, but I can't be seen.
Okay.
And now I can be seen and I can touch things, but nobody can hear me as I talk.
Okay, they're the parameters. They're the parameters.
So that's a good ghost.
That's a good ghost.
It's a good ghost, right?
Yeah.
So I do like that ghost.
Okay. Yeah.
Because you can do hijinks.
Yeah,
hijinks ghost.
So is this kind of like maybe like a Casper friendly ghost kind of esque, or is it?
It is.
Casper could kind of like pop in and out, couldn't he? Like,
no, but Casper could talk, touch things, and move through walls simultaneously.
But whenever he wanted, he kind of disappears.
He's probably quite like a high level ghost.
Yeah.
So. He had that shit nailed down.
Parents.
Yeah, he was probably high level. Yeah, definitely.
If you don't know when he died, he could have been a ghost for centuries.
But
people were actually looked like that. Like, yeah. Bald-headed, weird.
In the to malnourished people in the medieval era.
Yeah.
In the movie where it's not a cartoon.
The Christina Ricci.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one.
So that on my birthday in the cinema.
But doesn't he turn into like at the end he turns into a boy of like the Salem witch trials era.
That's what I
took from it.
I know he turns into Devon Sawa from Final Destination for us.
That's some top knowledge.
Yeah. He kind of has like one of those kind of like frilly collar.
Yeah.
Style rickouts.
Yeah.
On.
He's dressed up like what some Catholic children are dressed up at the baptism. Now.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's in one of them frilly rickouts. Like.
Yeah.
He could have died in a Renaissance fair.
Which he could suck. Have.
Because nobody, yeah. Everybody would assume you were a 16th century ghost. And like, imagine here's that. What a television is. You're like, I know.
I know.
This
is just unfortunate.
I have favourite shows. I was 15.
This is how terrible sequels are thought of. A million ways to die at a Renaissance fair.
One, turkey leg, choke on. Two, beat step with a turkey leg. Three, trip on a turkey leg. Four, turkey leg, air turkey leg. Whatever.
Accidentally be roasted on a spit.
There you go. Five, jousting.
Six, beaten up by someone who wasn't at the Renaissance fair.
On your own,
yeah. We're not going to get to a million ads.
No.
So,
actually, I was on Disney Cruise last year, and you know, you have table mates for dinner at those couple cruises, and two people at our table were getting married at a Renaissance fair. That was their plan, they were going to like dress up and do their marriage there.
Ah, listen, each their own.
Where are they from? And they were from Washington.
I was just about to say, they're definitely American.
Yeah, it was all American. One of the other guys was a professional fireworks display arranger, which is the best job ever.
Arranger?
I was asking, like, how do you like get into that? Can I be like an amateur fireworks display person?
No,
like,
no,
you just blow things up and then someone goes, do you want to blow things up for a job?
Wow.
And they go, yeah, sure.
So basically, his job is to blow stuff up in the air in a certain pattern that he decides anyway.
Yeah, he said it's actually like a really a creative job, because you have to like arrange the patterns and the timing and stuff, and set it to music and time stuff out with different fireworks and different things. Like, if you ever gone out to Spree, like, there is definitely like planning.
But the chaos of fireworks, I feel like you could blag for a while.
Yeah, I mean, it's like jazz. you need to know your stuff to know whether it's good or bad.
Or craft beer. Three blaggers. So we have the parameters for a ghost.
Okay.
So they're definitely pros. The cons for a ghost. I presume they have the inability to get the right or the proper shift.
Yeah, if you're one of like the wispy tail ghosts, then you fade away down there.
Yeah. So you're.
Yeah, there's not much going on down below.
No. And the shift, like, I don't remember Casper having a tongue.
I didn't get a tongue. It was like weird and pink and terrifying.
I think you could be right, Jeff. Yeah. And what about the Ghostbusters ghosts, right? Like Slimer.
What was Slimer like before that?
Now he had a tongue. That man with a tongue.
He knew his way around a turkey leg.
That's a good point, right? Like, what did those boys like turn into, like ghost wise? Like, what was their life before that? Like, what was Slimer like before being a ghost?
There must be some kind of like karmic retribution kind of thing when you're assigned as a ghost.
He definitely. Spent a lot of time eating turkey legs around Austin's fairs.
I would say so.
Maybe he's Jabba the Hutt. Maybe that is true.
Have you ever seen the episode of the cartoon where they explain how Slimer became their friend?
No.
It's brilliant. It's set literally 5 minutes after the first film, and they walk into the building still covered in marshmallow, and it explains every difference between the film and the cartoon, like where they got their new uniforms from. And Slimer is basically, they couldn't catch him again, and he just kind of liked them, so he just started following them around, trying to help them, and they hated him. They bullied the shit out of him, until eventually they accepted him as their friend, and that's how Slimer became.
Basically like Charlie out of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
He's the Slimer of that TV show.
he is.
Slimer became the Ghostbusters janitor. Ah, brilliant. Right, so they're the ghost parameters. What are the dog parameters?
Okay.
So I'm
your dog.
Straight away pro, you can lick your balls.
Yeah.
So I saw my friend's dog do that like vigorously the other day.
Yeah, but there's a possibility of castration as a con.
Oh, fuck.
Do you know?
Then you can,
I would say more than a possibility.
Yeah.
Almost certainty.
Almost certainty.
Yeah.
Unless you were a pure breed, thoroughbred lad.
Yeah, but then that's a con as well, is it? Like, you're just kind of locked away to be...
And, like, pure, like...
That's a pro, because you're just constantly, right?
It depends what your aim for being a dog is, though.
You're locked away too, right?
Like...
I think if I was thinking about the pros of being a dog, riding other dogs and not being under pros, it would be a bit more about, like, the rubs and the sleep maybe.
It's a context thing, though.
I'm not reading that into riding dogs. It's not a driving factor for me in this decision.
Fair enough. Yeah. No, you make a great point. I've never thought about this in any depth at all. Another pro for con, a pro for dogs is homeward bound.
Oh,
you could be one of them dogs.
Fucking quality.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I haven't seen homeward bound. I'm just thinking.
You haven't seen homeward bound
before times. That's dinosaurs.
No.
So it's basically the homeward bound is the land before time with dogs.
Okay, yeah.
So it's basically them getting lost and trying to find their way through to home through a lot of perils.
Again.
So it's like the Land Before Time, XIV, Element of B.
Okay. Yeah, the new band, the new class.
Yeah.
College years.
Again, when I think of the good thing about being a dog, getting lost is not one of them. Being separated from the people I love.
But what about the adventure
and
the smell? Like, you have the sense of smell. Like, you can smell for like 40 miles, so you probably find your...
That is good. I would like to smell like a dog.
Yeah.
I remember there was a PlayStation 2 game where you were a dog, and you can switch to smell mode and see all the smells everywhere.
Wow.
It was a very good game. To like make friends with other dogs and...
I feel like...
Fields.
I feel like I missed out. Definitely feel like I missed out. Because I think like...
yeah.
Like, we've had dogs, always had dogs growing up, and I often thought, like, you know, it's mad how they can, like, their senses are so amazing. Actually, it was on Today FM today. Apparently now with HD TVs, dogs, because they're dichromatic in their vision, whereas we're trichromatic, they can now, they could never see TVs until HD TVs come in.
Yeah.
So apparently now, like, dogs, like, apparently it's a whole YouTube phenomenon of dogs watching television. Yeah.
My dogs hate other animals on TV.
Go away.
They can spot animals on TV and know and bark and bark and bark and bark.
That's mental.
Yeah. And Strictly Come Dancing as well, for some reason.
I probably bark at that myself, to be honest.
That's mad, because like, you would have assumed like dogs back in the day with the old tubular TVs and stuff would have just been able to see the shit.
Because there were like weird noises from that we couldn't hear. Like,
actually, I used to have a dog that used to bark like to the Angelus bells. So like 6 o'clock every day, it'd be like,
that was probably inflicting an awful lot of mental health issues on that poor dog. Like,
yeah.
Catholic Church strikes again.
I had to turn off my Xbox yesterday because I was playing. I'm back on an Xbox 360 because I'm not out. But I was playing. I got like Dante's Inferno for free, and I had to turn off because I'm pretty sure my dog was scared of it. There was like a minotaur thing you could ride, and he started barking at that. Then once that was gone, he was still like the music was making him nervous. I was like, oh okay, I'm never playing. I didn't care. It wasn't a very good game. But anyway, but like I'm pretty sure he was like scared of the game.
Just like Dante's Peak wasn't a very good film, but you still end up watching it till the end anyway.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Sure, yeah.
Right, so let's get to the crux of the fucking issue.
Okay, so some pros about being a dog. So you can get lost and find your family again. That's your contribution.
100%. So my contribution is smelling.
Oh, what I always like about my dogs, they're quite small dogs, and if they're ever like up on a bed, you're like, imagine like the scale of the bed relative to you.
Oh.
Imagine having like a bed and a pillow that size.
That point is lost.
Your whole body is just like lost. And also sometimes I have a miniature dachshund. Sometimes he just like drapes his whole body just across, and he can drape his whole body across one leg pretty much. He's so small, and you just give all your weight over to a giant. So that's the thing about being a dog.
As someone who's 6'4" and 15.5 stone, like I've never been in a bed that like, so I basically, we have a king size bed at the moment, and it feels like a regular person's single bed to me.
Yes.
So like I'm just so long that like my legs still stick out the end, so that's hit home for me now.
Have you ever been a small spoon?
I'm always a small spoon.
Are you?
I'm emotionally unstable. Like I'm so emotionally unstable. Like that's why Nia's really good for me, because she's like the calm and influence. Like,
yeah.
Also,
and she's 6'8".
Is she? She's definitely a Viking anyway. She definitely is, because she's a Norman anyway. And they were Vikings, because she's a Fitz.
Ah,
so she's definitely a Viking. For myself, a good Viking woman. So, right. Alan, you won me over with the bed argument, the scale issue. I'm voting dog over ghost. Owen?
I think I will go with dog as well. It's such a fucking simple life, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's such a... Like, I know it's short... Like, Con obviously is like fucking 10 years or whatever. Like,
yeah.
Life, right? Like, more life.
Well, so like 10 good years against dog. Against
years.
Infinite... miserable years. Because the thing with your ghost as well, all the people you knew when you were alive, they eventually die, and there's no guarantee the ghost would for them. Like, is there?
Well,
I don't know.
You make sure they have some unfinished business.
This guy.
This guy knows his ghost.
Basically, you're heisting their afterlife. David Holmes music kicks in, George Clooney is there, Brad Pitt's eating a chicken knife. It's all good.
Man, you've taught, like, for someone who never got asked this question before, I guarantee.
I think about a lot about ghosts and what I want to do after I die. And I kind of want to be able to stick around in some form and see what happens. Because it's like a soap opera you're following, like history.
That's so, really good.
And also, I'm pretty sure ghosts aren't going to fight by gravity, so you can go, like, explore the universe. Probably.
Ooh.
It'll take you a while, because you're, like, basically paddling.
But you do have a while, though.
You have a
well. It depends on the parameters, though. Like, are you bound? Like, are you bound
also,
to like a 5k distance? Like,
can you paddle quicker than the universe is expanding?
Definitely not. I'm gonna say right now.
Okay, so
there's a Terry Pratchett book called Weird Sisters, where there's a ghost in it, and he's stuck in a castle where he dies. But he realizes, like, if you just take a brick out of a castle and put it in someone's pocket, you can just go with the brick. So he gets a witch to put the brick in his pocket, and he can just travel around with the witch.
Yeah.
So if you just put a brick on like the Curiosity rover, you can go live on Mars. And then wait for him to come.
Like,
and then they build and they expand again, you head on to the next place.
You're thinking on a different level thoughts altogether.
It's alcohol on a Thursday, it's really opening me up.
Listen, we do it every week.
Yeah.
You're more than welcome to join us anytime. Just give me a text. Right, so are you voting ghost?
I'm gonna go ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No issue with that.
I'm really,
I can see why.
Yeah.
I mean, you did sway me over to dog from ghost, but I can see, like,
devil's advocate. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Devil's
I can see that point of view.
Yeah.
And guys, that's that topic issue. We have another topic for you tonight, but first, a word from our sponsors. And we're back in the room. And we're here tonight, and obviously Alan is our special guest. He's a co-host of the Juvenalia podcast. And Alan, just a brief description for the listeners who aren't aware of what Juvenalia is.
So Juvenalia is a podcast where a special guest comes in and they pick a topic. The topic is always something they were obsessed with when they were a child. It's like a film or a TV show, a book, album, whatever it is. And they talk to us, me and Sarah Griffin or Alan Tannum. Somewhere between 40 minutes and an hour and 20 minutes sometimes. And we've done it for 3 years now, and it's we enjoy doing it.
It's a great listen.
We've done a few live shows and stuff, and people have turned up, so it's
that's good.
Yeah,
yeah. So, for example, Friends the TV Show and Art Attack are the two I've listened in the last 2 days.
Last most recent two episodes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Brilliant. So, what I wanted to say basically was like, we're all relatively similar in age. There's like 5-6 years between all of us. Encompasses a whole lot, so we had fairly similar eras of upbringing, and obviously like Friends, The Simpsons, like there's so many things in our childhood that's iconic that has lived with us, and a lot of them have lasted the test of time and are quite popular today. But for the modern era, so people who are children now, what do you think will be, so if you were to do a Juvenalia podcast in 2035, what do you think your special guest their topic will be?
Okay, so just because it came out literally like last week, I think the Beyonce Homecoming film on Netflix, yeah. I think that's going to be watched over and over again for a very long time. I think that's going to be a major, I think it's going to be a lot of people citing that as influences for a long time, because it's just an unbelievable piece of like I've been to a lot of gigs, I've never seen a gig like that.
No.
Have you watched it yet?
No, not yet.
I've seen snippets and I've seen bits, and my fiance isn't a big Beyonce lover, so if I'm going to watch it, I'm going to be like a 29-year-old male watching Beyonce Homecoming on my own, but I've no problem with that.
I was a 34-year-old male watching on my own.
Yeah.
I watched it the first time with my wife, and my wife watches everything whilst also playing Candy Crush. She did not play Candy Crush during
They're fucking obsessed with Candy Crush. I tell you what, right? If you were to do a Juvenalia with 50-year-old women in 20 years' time, it would be Candy Crush based on their adult life. Guarantee it.
That's true. Yeah.
Fucking, is she onto Soda Saga?
Oh yeah, she's a
wall. Oh yeah, yeah, like level
and
fucking 12,000.
The emoji bits as well. Yeah, yeah.
What's going on there?
Yeah. See, the Beyonce video or film, I think.
That's really good, yeah.
I'm blown away by it. Like, I was talking to somebody the other day, and just because if you haven't seen it, it's like they have it's like a tribute to the traditionally Black American colleges, and like they're cheerleading and like drum lines and brass bands and stuff. So they have like a pyramid based of bleachers, and it's like layers of like trombone players and string players and drummers and dancers, and like everybody is mic'd up and everybody's stomps are mic'd and everybody's cheers are mic'd, but also the sound is perfect, and this is like a technical accomplishment.
It's just
unbelievable. And then all the music, every single song is rearranged for this particular configuration of this big brass version of all the songs.
Wow.
And there's like 15, like not 15, that was a lie, that's a third beer, lie. There's like six costume changes, not 15. And it's just, everything is just, you're like training for like 8 months for it. I'm basically just talking about Beyonce now, so I'm on the podcast, because she is amazing.
She is, to be fair.
Was that at Coachella, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And like, I imagine not doing that for a Coachella.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
like
yeah.
Corporate influence festival.
I just want to point out the irony that Jay-Z's just come on.
Yeah.
Yes.
When we're talking like that's that's beautiful. Sim.
It's very important that Jay-Z is once again a background, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just kind of blown away by it. I think the same thing like TV shows and films and stuff. Like probably the Marvel stuff.
Yeah.
Would
be big.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, what are we 11, 12 years into Marvel?
Yep.
Making films now at this stage, and
2008 was on, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. It's 11 years.
I mean, there's a catalog of 11 years worth of integrated films there that I don't think it's ever been done before.
Oh no, definitely not.
Like it's outrageously good.
And they're mostly all good. I've seen I think all but like two of them at this stage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And They're all good. They're the ones I just show on.
They're all
watchable.
They're my background film. They're all watchable.
Yeah.
And I must say, Black Panther and Captain Marvel. It's funny, and this is something that you discussed when in relation to Friends about. I suppose the cultural monopoly that white people had on television in throughout the 90s, with like the Fresh Prince being the exception, maybe.
Yeah.
For me, and I'm not saying this to pander, because people know me, like people that know me know I've no zero tolerance bullshit for anything. But genuinely, having seen Captain Marvel in the cinema a couple of weeks ago with my sister and fiance, and having seen Black Panther in the cinema with my brother, like I genuinely believe that they are two of the better Marvel films, and I love all the Marvel films. And you've got one there that centres around Africa and African heritage and culture, and one there that centres around, you know, a female lead. I just think it's wonderful that, like, you take Friends, as you said, like, and Friends was before its time in terms of like lesbian marriage, as you said, and half the cast were female and they were equally paid and stuff like that. But the fact that Marvel now have films where you've got a strong female lead and it's a fantastic film built around it.
And you see, like, did you see that video of a canteen full of like 10, 12 year old black kids, and told them you both see Black Panther?
Yeah.
And they're losing their minds and dancing, and it's like, I'm delighted that that's
a
thing that can happen for people now, because it didn't. But for the first like 9 Marvel films, it didn't happen.
And also,
and another 8 years before that.
Now you've white people want, like, I fucking don't, like, there's something absolutely brilliant about just doing the W sign and saying Wakanda forever, like.
Yeah.
I mean, and as a, like, I have no concept of what racism is, because I'm a white European, and I just think, like, empowering black people, empowering women the way they have done in the last couple of years, and it's very important to draw that line that, like, it is in the last couple of years, it's not over the entire 11 years.
No, it's not.
It's fantastic, and they are finally moving to a more progressive time, which is brilliant. Mm. But yeah, I think you're right. Marvel films. In terms of TV shows, what do we think?
Because everything's so fragmented. Like, I don't know what games to watch. I guess probably Adventure Time, maybe. Yeah.
I mean, I.
But then again,
Rick and Morty.
That's things that we're watching, like, as well. Like, but
yeah, I suppose that's it. Like,
probably it's something we don't know about. It's Fortnite and Fortnite related things.
You've now got a hyper accessible society, whereas, like, again, something that you guys were talking about today with Art Attack, I don't know when you talked about it, but today when I was listening, was that, like, it was after school, when everyone go home after school, it was on.
Yeah. And it was one of like the 7 channels, so you were going to be watching Art Attack or
Death. Yeah, and like 7 channels if you had them. I went to school in a non-affluent area of Cork City, and many people didn't have the 2, you know. And it was funny how, like, that became like almost like the thing that nearly grouped Friends when we were younger, was what you had access to, whereas now everyone has access to everything.
I think so, like, TV show wise, right, I think that it's not going to be TV shows, because, right, if you're thinking about what we were doing and we were obsessing over, it was TV shows, because we had access to TV shows. But I think for this generation, it'll be fucking guys streaming. It'll be guys on YouTube, it'll be channels, it'll be PewDiePie or whatever, Ninja, whatever, right? It's going to be those guys that are going to be, this is what I spent X amount of hours, like, you know, hundreds of hours just watching, like, this one person, or like people fucking unboxing a new game, or like loot boxes or something like that. People opening loot boxes for hours or whatever, like, you know.
Oh, that's a very fair point. I even find that, like, I'm an absolute dinosaur when it comes to gaming.
Yeah.
Like, I like my gaming experience to be me and the game, and not all these other people online.
Exactly. Same.
Like, I've played Fortnite. My brothers introduced me to it, and I became a little bit obsessed with it for about 2 weeks, and then all of a sudden I was kind of like, fuck this, like, you know, that's not what I was brought. Like, I grew up on, like, you know, the PlayStation, Sega Mega Drive, even the PlayStation, PlayStation 2,
PlayStation. Exactly.
Like, so, like, you know, and just that whole, like, it's you and a console, as opposed to you and some chap in Korea and some girl in Brazil and some other person in trying to sell you drugs somewhere, like, you know. Or, like, trying,
like, someone
to traffic
your mom,
you.
They're going to ride your mom, like,
something like that. Oh, listen, like, some of the things I hit over here when I go to my parents' house, my brother shouting at people.
The weird thing about Fortnite is, though, like, a really, really interesting thing, that it's not necessarily a game anymore. It's more like the green in your estate. is everybody's just on Fortnite. They're not necessarily even playing Fortnite. They're just in there showing each other their costumes and stuff. I watched my nephew play, he's 9. And he spends, honestly, most of his time in the menus.
Yeah.
Just messing with stuff. And just chatting over the chat. Like, rather than actually playing the game.
But that's the thing about, Fortnite and a few others like Apex Legends, there's a good few games that are free to play, and it's a new kind of concept now in gaming whereby you're downloading the game for free, but they're
it's the in-game purchases
that they're trying to get, and I just don't understand the
My nephew didn't want an Easter egg this year. He wanted V-Bucks for Fortnite.
V-Bucks and buy a costume.
V-Bucks. So he bought an Easter Bunny costume for his Fortnite person instead of an Easter egg. So if that's what he wants,
it makes him happy. Bucks,
he's getting a webcam for streaming for his birthday.
Talk about generation differences. You have asked me what Easter egg did I want. I said, I don't actually want one. I want this book on the 50 years before the 1790, between the 1798 Rising and the famine. She was like, okay, you fucking freak. Why did you want that? But it's what I wanted.
Easter eggs are only five.
That book was only €8.
That's still 8 Easter eggs.
Fair point. I probably should have went with the Easter eggs. I was getting notions. I bought her a fancy skelly chocolate one. I was getting notions of myself there over
Jesus,
Easter.
Yeah.
Some brownie points over that. I find it fascinating. I like your podcast to me. I said this to you when we met tonight, that it was amazing that the impact it's had on me in terms of just the last couple of days, nostalgia, listening to them being like, oh my fucking god, I really want to put in here and talk about what impact
it's had. I guess same thing, listen to your podcast. Because I think what we were going to go for was, or what I think I like about it, is it's like sound people are sitting at a table next to you in a pub, and you're on your own, and you kind of want to join in, but you can't, but sometimes people are sitting next to you in a pub, and they're fucking annoying as hell. We're trying to be not that.
Yeah, exactly.
Just the people who are having a good conversation next to you.
But that's
I think that's because I was listening to your 90s episode today, and I was like, just kept them going off and said, what would I say if I was there? I really wish I'd been here for this episode so I could talk about something.
We can redo that one with you here. Don't worry, we're doing one a week for the rest of our lives.
Can I take issue with you?
Yeah.
Something there.
No
discos
problem.
Are fucking amazing. Discos are a god to your Christmas.
No, but I'm not disputing that.
Alright.
But I genuinely think the Frisp is ahead of the disco. That's just...
This is the thing. To me, a Frisp is... its competitor is Hunky Dory's. Frisp and Hunky Dory's were always the two. Because they're ridged.
It depends what your category.
You see the disco thing,
you can categorize them in different ways.
But if you're going, already.
It's always good to get a Frisp. We'll redo this another time. We'll be in Downs's in a month and we'll talk about Frisps and discos.
Good.
We'll just have a complete episode dedicated to Frisps because the Crisp is my weakness. But when you're talking about this generation shift, I listen to your podcast and I really want to put in. I'd love to know if my 20-year-old brother listened to Juvenalia now about Friends, would he love to put in? I don't know, it's a completely different thing.
Would he have that context or would he have
He's seen an awful lot of Friends because he's grown up in a house where me and Ian have had him on, and my dad has had it on in the back. Because like we said before we start recording, Friends is the background team to a whole, to two generations.
Yeah.
You know, it's just that constant team that's always there. It's been on Comedy Central since it stopped coming out.
Non-stop. Do you think there's a cutoff age of certain things are just not relevant for...
But you saw it happen last year. All of a sudden there was a whole group of people that all of a sudden said Friends is not socially acceptable anymore, which was a very interesting online discussion. I can see where they're coming from, but the point that was made on Alan's podcast that I listened to, which I was basically driving down the fucking motorway last night from the comedy gig roaring as the lads were discussing it, was social context. Right, that level of homophobia, that level of, I suppose, almost, you can't call it apartheid because it's not apartheid, but that level of television apartheid was, what was the social norm then? Right, you couldn't bring Friends out now in its current format. It wouldn't be nearly as successful. It would have to be multicultural, it'd have to be integrated, it'd have to address different religions, different beliefs, different backgrounds and stuff. It's just the way it is. but it's an absolute reflection of what people were like back then.
Yeah, I mean, I think something we talk about a lot is that, like, we're kind of, we're all like 7 or 8 years into, well, like straight white cis people are like 7 or 8 years into considering other people's point of view, pretty much.
Yeah.
That is still kind of a new thing to us. So we have a show that's made by all white people in the 90s, and they're not going to care to make fat jokes. They're not going to care to, they don't, they respect gay people, but they also, they're not ashamed to make a gay joke, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm kind of, it's interesting. Because you can't like cancel Friends, it's too big.
No.
And it's still, loads of it is so funny. But you just have to be like, I guess mindful. Yeah. You just have to, as long as you're like, but also, don't like, sing it, yeah. I think you're alright, you know? You don't want to like, completely cut it out of your life.
29-year-old me finds things funny of Friends now that I didn't find funny when I was 15. And finds things offensive now that I didn't find offensive at 15, because I'm a different person now as well.
Yeah.
And that all has to be taken into consideration as well. So I think what'll be funny is you might do a Juvenalia in 15 years time, but maybe one of maybe my youngest brother Mark, or
yeah,
maybe my sister Aoife is younger again, and you might sit down with one of them and say, right, what's your topic? And like Alan, I have a brother Alan who's 22 in June. I guarantee Alan's Juvenalia would be Ninja.
Yeah.
He actually like is
awesome,
really into it.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, listening to your podcast and thinking, what would I pick for a topic? And your mind just boggles because there's so many things.
Mm.
It's a really hard thing to pinpoint.
Pinpoint one. So like what?
What has had the most significant impact on your childhood?
What are you so obsessed with?
I think especially when we were growing up, because you didn't have access to everything all at once.
Mm.
Yeah, all the things you had access to meant a lot to you.
Exactly,
so
you placed
like,
a lot more
I've
importance.
Like five things that I would pick.
Yeah,
but there are five things I would have a genuine and a lot of fun to pick in between.
I think so.
And there's not even close to the five of them.
It'd be like the Alan McGuire series. Like.
I think it is like you only have kind of eras or like stages of your childhood where you are like obsessed.
Yeah.
Where like say like I would have been like obsessed with Pokemon for a while, obsessed with wrestling for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know like there was definitely like times like that where like obviously like the PS2 like obsessed like still obsessed with PlayStation, but like. There, like I don't know, like was there a game at the time that I was obsessed with? Like definitely, like Pro Evo, I was obsessed with for a while.
I'll put it this picture, right?
Some wrestling games I was obsessed with for a while. But like, yeah, I don't know.
My
It'd be very hard to pinpoint for a podcast.
Like,
what from my childhood? What was I obsessed with?
I kind of thought like it would be a transition. If you're talking about early childhood, transition from Rugrats to Pokemon is a big thing. For me, just
I
went through, like, because Rugrats, like you were talking as well about Art Attack being on ITV.
Yeah.
We actually had it, but we still watched it then because that's what was put on for us.
Mm.
And it was like Rugrats was on.
Mm.
So, like, Rugrats, and then it was like Rugrats, and then your Homer.
Yeah.
And you were saying it was funny because, like, a lot of your, like, you and your co host have never met someone who's seen a particular show.
Yeah.
And I reckon everyone else was doing their homework at that time your generation, like. So for me, it was like Rugrats and the Pokemon, and then I could say the PlayStation films and stuff like that. But it's really funny. And then I think, like, if my dad was on Juvenalia, my dad is 54 next week. My dad in Juvenalia, his topic would be motorbikes. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It would have zero to do with technology. It would be pure mechanics. Because he grew up in a tiny village where his dad was the sergeant of the village, in the Garda Station village, and they had a television, but they only watched it. They basically only use it to watch the Sunday game.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's just that it's so funny that way that it's completely gone from someone with, in two generations, it's gone, not even two, like, because it's my dad's children.
Mm.
Like, Mark would be, Alan, Mark might be Ninja, whereas dad was motorbike.
Yeah.
Do you know what is cross generational?
Fascinating concept.
Do you know what's cross generational, though? Sports. Sports teams.
Oh, yeah.
We only have one sport episode. No, sorry. Now, it's controversial. If you count wrestling as sport, we've had two.
Okay.
Do you count wrestling as sport?
It's sports entertainment.
Yeah.
You like they're getting fucked up and they're athletes.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Also,
yeah.
They know the outcome before they go in there.
Yeah.
We had a brief discussion on this last week, and I reckon the physical exertion means it is a sport. It's just like it's like match fixing in a football match. It's a sport that's match fixed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess it really is a matter of personal taste. For me, if the ordinary open one, it's not an actual competition, it's a display.
I think I was about
it's more theatres.
It's about SummerSlam.
It doesn't like denigrate it anyway.
No, it doesn't.
Like it's still like I said,
there are athletes doing theatre.
In a wrestling episode, like Shawn Michaels versus Bret Hart won the Ironman match is like one of the most like best hours I've spent watching something ever in my life. Like, but like.
Do you remember there was a random SummerSlam where it was a triple threat between The Rock, Triple H and Stone Cold Steve Austin? And like I'll never forget, like, do you know the way something would happen when you're a teenager and you go to secondary school and discussion, like I was maybe first or second year when this happened. And I'll never forget, like, for a solid week the only thing we discussed was that triple threat match. And it was just the only topic. And it was right on the cusp of when I stopped being interested in it. So like it was mad that we were that involved in it, and then all of a sudden like we started shifting viewers, like. And I'm not saying the two were linked, like I have some really good friends that are still really into wrestling to this day, and do you know, they're really about it, and they've shifted viewers. I've seen them, and like, so I'm not saying the two were linked, but I really enjoy that conversation because I do think that generation gap, and even like there's only 9 years between me and Mark, and we have such different takes on what popular culture is and what's not. And it's funny, like did the stand-up comedy gig last night, and he texted into it, we've a family Snapchat group, like we're probably the only family in the world that has a family Snapchat group, and Mark straight away into it, like, was he the unfunniest fiend there, like thanks Mark, like so it's just that different, like that difference, even 9 years can make such a difference. Like you say, like most of your guests are 5 or 6 years either side of you guys.
Pretty much, yeah.
It's funny because that way you can relate to them.
Yeah, but even with that, there's still like so many things I've watched for the first time as well. But I'd never seen E.T. before we did it for Jimmy Alien.
Go ahead.
I know, it's stupid. I haven't. It's my parents' fault.
Yeah, it is.
And what, there's some weird things I've never seen. Lots of stuff I never would have expected to. We did one about a series of books for like young girls called The Saddle Club, which got girls who are really into horses. And I downloaded three for the podcast, and I actually enjoyed that. They're like a really relaxing turn off your brain read, because it's like if you were talking to each other about wrestling, right? If I wasn't here, so you could like really get detailed into like the mechanics, or if you talk to each other about beer, if someone's not there, then it doesn't know about beer. This thing just assumes you know about horses.
Oh,
and it's really into the grooming and maintenance of horses. So it's like a really relaxing read to read about them like brushing down their horses and also doing really well in the show jumping competition, the big show jumping competition, you know? And I didn't expect to like it, but I did. And there's loads of stuff like that we just.
Yeah, it's
you don't expect you're going to like it. And then
the stuff
it's someone else's enthusiasm for it.
Yeah.
It's amazing because I always think like, confirmation bias is a huge thing when it comes to television and stuff. Like if someone comes into work and says, man, you fucking have to watch this, like it's the greatest thing ever, you automatically enjoy the first 2 or 3 episodes.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden you might be like, this is just horseshit. Like the Snoop Dogg coaching thing on Netflix, and you were like, this is hilarious.
Yeah.
I watched the first one being like, this is the greatest show of all time. And like 10 minutes into the second one, I was like, oh fuck it, I'm going to gym.
Yeah. Should have waited for the third.
They go home to watch it.
The enthusiasm is back.
I just think, I think that concept of nostalgia is hilarious. Like, and that going back to it, like, say something you loved. So I'll give one example before we wrap up this topic, and on you one or two little random bits to finish us off. Before we wrap up this topic, I want to think the concept of nostalgia. So for me. And look, it's a double-edged sword, right? The concept of this topic is nostalgia, basically. And for me, is nostalgia the love that you had for the thing at the time, and you're reflecting on that. And sometimes there are things that will stand the test of time, and sometimes there's something that you love at a certain point of time, and then you look back on it and you go back to it and you're like, actually, I don't feel that strong now. So for me, from a pop culture point of view, for me that is Scrubs, and there's 2 reasons behind it. I tried to rewatch Scrubs again recently, and I found myself just thinking it's fucking muck. Now I loved it when it came out first. Like I had all the box sets, thought it was fucking brilliant. But I tried to rewatch it last year, and I was just like, ah, fuck me, like I'm not into this at all. Part of me thinks it's my subconscious because I was watching like the first time I experienced death of a loved one properly was my grandfather when I was 18. I was really lucky in that sense that the first grandparent I lost I was 18, But I was watching Scrubs with my aunt and my mother, and I can remember, like, vividly remember my mother's screams and stuff like that. So, not to get too deep, but like, I associate the death with Scrubs. Just the first thing that comes to mind. Yeah. So when my grandmother died earlier this year, actually you were me when I took that phone call, but the first thing I thought of was like, fucking Scrubs.
JD, you bastard!
Motherfucker.
Not again.
So for me, like, and I don't know, has that heavily influenced my look back on Scrubs. But with nostalgia, some things just aren't as good when you go back. It's like that ex thing. Like, you go back to your ex because in your head you paint it up like we had all these good times together, but actually 80% of it was shit. Like,
yeah.
Do you know? And I wonder, has that got an awful lot to do with it? And Art Attack for your guest today seemed to me like something that was kept pure throughout the entire. And that's rare. I think that's rare. And what's rare is wonderful.
So I think personally for me, right? So there's a lot to take from like this thing in. I have a few friends who've done marketing, right? And there's a huge part of marketing called nostalgia marketing, right? Whereby you try and get people excited about a product by bringing back, say, an old part of the product. Let's say, I don't know, like the Tetley's Teas guy, or do you know those tea guys or whatever, brought them back or whatever. But what you do is you bring them back in snippets. So just give them a little teaser, because you actually got fucking fed up with them back in the day, really. Like, as it is with
brand
everything.
Brand fatigue, like.
Yeah, you get tired with everything. Like, you know, even like Pokemon, when it went to like the sixth generation or whatever. Like, you know, you're like when you think of Pokemon, you're thinking of the 150.
It's all Indigo League, like.
Yeah, exactly, right. So that's all you're thinking of, right? But like, you still be like, oh, Squirtle, you're a fucking
hero, like.
I love you, man. You fucking smashed the first gym, right? But like,
why did you ever evolve? Anyone else on their Game Boy, like, always like on Squirtle and Charmander, like, just refuse to evolve them, like.
Actually, I'm too old for Pokemon. I'm like 2 years old for Pokemon.
Oh.
It's hard. I know I would have loved it. And like, there's like artists and stuff that I'm really into that Pokemon's a big part of their like thing. Like, have you seen the new Poker app?
No.
So this guy called Brian David Gilbert made a new Poker app that takes in all 832 Pokemon.
Jesus.
And it's amazing. But also, like, literally 650 must be made up and I wouldn't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I know the ones from the cartoon, that's it.
There's
a big Pokemon shaped chunk.
Yeah.
In my pocket.
And I have a big Pokemon gripe. Netflix only show like 2/3 of this Indigo League on Netflix. I don't know why. It just stops at a certain point.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah. Look, I suppose, yeah. My point about that is that, like, what was the question again?
I was more about like nostalgia. Is it like is the stuff that you're nostalgic about actually shitter than you think it is?
Yeah.
Some of it is. I personally think
it is. Yeah.
I think some of it is, but some of it isn't. Like, I think Pokemon's as good. Pokemon would be my art style probably.
But say it is for like those X-Men episodes, and then like you lose interest. You know, as in.
Yeah.
And like the reason you lost interest is because it was getting shit. Do you know? Or like, you know, there was,
and also like, it can be like designed for a child's attention span.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah.
11,
you're
11,
a bit older or whatever. Yeah, exactly.
11-year-old me laps that shit up, whereas like 30-year-old me might be too into it.
Same with wrestling or whatever.
The X-Men cartoon on Netflix, and I watched the first episode. And I was like, I loved this before.
Yeah,
that was weird.
Yeah, yeah.
This is very slow. And
but
that's a good point about say growing up and stuff. Like, you know, say like take wrestling for instance, right? As in, like, okay, like, wrestling changed that PG era or whatever, and like, it got a little less raunchy as it was back in the day. But it still has like sellout crowds. It still has probably like a bigger viewership than it did back in the day. So like, it's not less popular like than it was, or like, you know, it's not shitter. Let's say
it seems
than
like
it was.
It has like a bigger pop culture imprint than it did.
Exactly. Before. Yeah. So like even the WrestleMania that just went was there in April, like that had the main event of that was a female triple threat match. It's the first ever like main event that was an all female main event. Like,
so and an Irish woman won it.
Becky Lynch, boy.
You know what's weird? I know people who know her, and they were like, post pictures of her like giving them piggybacks when they were like 20.
What?
And I was like, that's like the world wrestling champion. That's my friend Steve.
That's insane.
Back. Yeah, it's weird. It's
awesome. And that's pure Irish.
We should be so proud of it. Like that there's so many great Irish wrestlers at the moment. Like, is it what?
Sheamus
and
like.
Your man Finn Balor. Finn Balor. Yeah.
Oh, like I'm not in tune with it at all anymore.
Yeah.
Well, like the OTT guys are like hugely respected, like all across Europe. And stuff
yeah.
As well. Like
it's really cool. Yeah.
It's amazing. It's really niche.
Brilliant.
Thing, which really proud.
So. Just for listeners who aren't involved, usually when we're preparing our episodes, the day that we're recording, about an hour beforehand, I'll jot a few notes on a piece of paper, and I have that piece of paper in front of me, and just to finish up the episode, Owen has written a question down, and I'm going to ask it to the group, and I only saw this question like mid-recording earlier, and it is, Alan, I'll ask you first, because you haven't heard this question yet, what would you be willing to pay for a haircut?
Okay, so what would I pay for a haircut? I'm presuming you wrote that down once you saw my hair and meant he needs a haircut.
No. this was...
He wrote it down when he saw my hair and said he never needs a haircut again.
Okay, now, I'm a true blue Waterford man, so I get my haircut in the Jolly Barber and nowhere else. Classic. So, I should say whatever the Jolly Barber charges plus a tip. But I did, when I lived in Cork, got my haircut in a Turkish barber's once.
Which one?
The one on the corner down at the bridge. I can't remember the name of any streets in Cork because I haven't lived there in years. You know, as you're coming down Barrack Street. Weird.
That end of town. Because yeah. there was a really good, there was a really, really good barber's on. Oh, what's the name of, what's the name of the street with Leisureplex on it? And,
Bardock.
No.
No, wait. Oh, Leisureplex. Off the other end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Coburg Street comes on to... McCurtain Street, yeah. Because he was the Lord Mayor. I went to the same school I went to. I couldn't think of his name. It was either McCurtain or... Anyways, moving swiftly on. There was a good Turkish... One of the first Turkish barbers was there.
Yeah.
And like when I was a teenager and I started getting facial hair, I was like, going here for an old Turkish shave. Like, myself on the device, thinking where the tits, like, if we're Turkish shave, I say, your man took about 14 seconds. Anyway, sorry.
So I lived in Galabi Street, so I was like, there was like down the corner, you come across the bridge there, right?
No, it went.
And went in, and he like groomed every part of my head. I went in basically for a trim. I didn't have an actual haircut until I was like 25, and so when I was 22, my hair just grew, and then I would cut it, then it would grow again. Yeah. In no shape. It was basically like a Beatles haircut. But he did like, was like doing like nose hair and eyebrows, and then he just got a very hot rock and just banged it off my earlobe.
Wow.
And it's like to singe earlobe hair, and I was terrified. And then he charged me like 3 times what I'd ever paid for a haircut before. So, which was like €25 because I was 22. But it did mean I couldn't eat dinner that day. So,
yeah.
Would I pay €25 for a haircut?
Up to Jackie Langston for cheese and onion pie and hoping to throw a scoop of chip on.
I was in my final exams in UCC, I did analysis. Like that centre for love, analysis for dinner. So, dinner around the corner. That was just like, oh god, just everything out of your mind, like you're sort of.
Yeah.
How much did David Beckham pay for that head shave? That's like £300.
What?
Remember that he paid £300 to get his head shave?
I'd have done it for half that, like.
Yeah. My hair is so, like, basically I asked for like 5 of them back and sides and then like cut it in on top of this and like swish it over. But I've reached an age now where a younger hairdresser gives me the old person version of that haircut. So I would pay double to the young person version of that haircut, €20, I think.
Right.
I think, yeah, probably €20 for a 34-year-old man who isn't a celebrity. I think that's a generous amount of money to pay for a haircut.
As... Well, chicken class.
Last call, isn't it?
So as someone who has a hairline higher than Snoop Dogg's on 420, I can safely say I go to the Polish barbers and I just say, short back and size and tape whatever you can off the top. That's pretty much it. And I don't know, it's a €12 or something like that, and there's a loyalty card. That's it. It's fit, like, to be quite honest with you, like, I fully embraced my hairline and what's happening, and I'm just like, whatever is going right for the fast job.
I'm very scared about my hairline because my brothers both have less, are younger than me, but have less hair than me, and my father was receding by the time he was my age. But my granduncle, who is Dennis McGuire, who used to have McGuire's shop in Ballybricken, which is probably familiar to a lot of older people as selling out of date Mars bars out of a wrapper in a box. Yeah. He has an amazing head of hair for a man in the 70s, and I'm hoping that part of the McGuire will get down
apparently
to me.
Apparently, it's from the mother's side.
My grandfather was bald, so
I don't know.
Plus, my great great grandfather, my father said, was a murderer, so who knows what genes?
Yeah, also, it's weird. Environment has a lot to play. So for me, look, that's the hand I was dealt, like, you know. And to be honest, I'd rather have a receding hairline than one of them botched transplant jobs.
Yeah. Actually, I paid €15 for shampoo the other day.
Well,
so,
yeah. But so like, if you have it, do what you can to keep it.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. Okay, Owen, you have a very good hair.
Yeah.
Haircut.
You're like.
You can do a lot with it. It seems very, like, my hair just grows straight. I had long hair when I was a teenager, and it just grew very straight, and then I got a kink like a French schoolgirl, so I had to cut it all off. So you seem to have hair that can, like, do things.
Your hair is very flexible.
So, yeah.
I don't know, this is a stupid question.
How dare you? This is a matter of utmost importance.
Yeah, no, right. So just say, I don't know, I suppose, how much would I be willing to pay for a haircut? And I suppose back in the day, it was always like tenner, like, you know, fucking one note, like, you know, that's all you're paying for a haircut, like. And that was kind of consistent for a good long while in Waterford, like, you know.
I think that economics had a lot to play with that. Like, they went to a tenor and then the recession happened, but they just kept it a tenor.
Yeah.
And people just went along with it. Like, no one was like, a fucking tenor for a haircut.
Yeah, no, it was, yeah.
It's crept up, though.
It has. Like.
Although you were paying 25 back in the day, like, that was madness.
I did it once. Yeah. I went to Blades after that again.
So, I think at the moment, I'd say kind of standard for me is about 15 or so.
Well, you go to the same place, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I suppose they have a lot more to work with you than me, like, so.
I don't know, maybe it's 12. Maybe you're going for a student, right? Yeah, I don't know.
I definitely look like a student then.
OAP then.
Yeah, that would be it. I get the pity cut. I love when they show you the back, like, I just don't even look anymore. Like, ah, it's grand, yeah, I don't give a fuck, like.
But then, yeah, so, like, a few times I got my hair cut up in Dublin, and gone to Grafton Barbers, and there was this fella that I used to go to, and, like, initially I thought he was really nice, like, you know, but then I found out that he was absolutely scamming me, because he was just like, oh, you know, when I sat down in the chair, he was like, do you want a beer? I was like, yeah, of course. Of course I want a beer. This is a stupid question. I just need a beer, like, you know.
Yes.
But then he was just like, oh, do you want your hair washed? I was like, yeah.
If I get a second beer, I would.
I haven't washed myself. Like, why do I wash my hair? So, like, yeah. So then, like, wash my hair. And that used to be really relaxing, massaging kind of thing. Then he'd, like, put in, like, this bit of product. He'd be snipping away my hair and he'd do all this shit with my hair, where you'd, like, be nearly getting a blowtorch and, like, you know, scabbing the top of my head with the blowtorch.
So are you one of them lads in that sped up Facebook video where they do fancy haircuts?
Oh yeah, 100%, yeah. Like, as in, but I was also the typical Irish person. I was like, ah yeah, do you know, like, not, yeah. Like, I wasn't.
You're not going to question what's happening to you, like.
Yeah, no, I wasn't asking for these things. I just wasn't denying these things happening to me. Like, I was just like, ah yeah, sure, tip away, do the usual or whatever.
Sounds like the plot to Song for a Raggy Boy.
Yeah, so anyway, yeah, tip away at that. I paid €22 in a Grafton Barbers in Lucan there once. For that whole thing, like, I suppose, like, massage your head and stuff, like, it's not too bad, but, like, it's also ridiculous.
Did,
like,
you have a happy ending?
No, I did not that time.
I think that's a great note to end on. Call a spade a spade.
Yeah.
So listen, lads, that's been this week's Snowcast. Thanks a million for checking in. Like I said at the start, we're only going to mention it briefly. Patreon's there if you want to go to it, www.patreon.com/snowcast. Alan, thanks so much for coming in on, like, less than 48 hours notice.
Thank you so much, Happy. Oh, listen, give us the light.
How do Snowcast listeners find you?
They can find me at Alan_McGuire on Twitter, and they can find Juvenalia on all the podcast spaces.
Just search Juvenalia, yeah.
It's got a very delightful pink logo, which we're very proud of.
Yep.
And
yeah. I'll be 100% honest with you. If you don't follow Snowcast on social media, follow Snowcast on social media. And if you do that, we'll be fucking retweeting and sharing and all that shit, Juvenalia stuff, because I've fallen in love with this podcast last week. And I'm so fucking happy that the co-host is from Waterford. And I'm so fucking happy that the co-host is joining us tonight for a pint. So, Alan, thanks a million for coming on. We'll definitely be on to you to come on again. So, sorry like for the social pestering that we're going to do from now on. And thanks a million for coming on. Owen, thanks for sitting with me and having a pint on Thursday as usual.
Huh?
And lads, we haven't had any glass clink, so glass clink for the listeners as we leave. Sláinte, Dívh go léir.